Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. On today's call, we're going to discuss seven reasons to keep your promises. You know, making promises, honey, is a godly thing. God made the first promise. He promised that grass and trees would reproduce after their own kind. Genesis 1:11. 1:11, God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass and trees after their own kind." God kept his promise. The next verse, Genesis 1:12. "And the earth brought forth grasses and trees after its kind." God actually made 20,000 promises in his word.
Wow.
The greater part are already fulfilled. Those that remain are being fulfilled. But the devil also makes promises. Notice how his first promise to mankind directly contradicts God's. God promises that if the man ate of the tree of the forbidden fruit, he would die. Genesis 2:17, Classic Amplified. "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and blessing and calamity you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." But notice how Satan contradicts God with his own promises. Genesis 3:4, Living Bible. "That's a lie," the serpent hissed. "You'll not die." When God asked why Adam and Eve disobeyed, Eve was deceived by a false promise. "The serpent," she said, "the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." That says in Genesis 3:13. Notice it was Eve's dependence upon a false promise that brought about the devil's purpose in Eden. False promises and lies come from the devil. John 8:44, the Living Bible. "You love to do the evil things he," the devil, "does, for he is the father of lies." Contrary to this, promises that can be depended on come from God's Spirit working in us. John 14:16-17 in the Living Bible. "He will never leave you. He's the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth."
And you know, honey, unfulfilled promises never bring about God's will.
It's true.
Instead, they bring about Satan's decision and his will. Notice God's warning, though, for those who make promises and don't keep them. It says in Ecclesiastes 5:1-7 in the Classic Amplified, says, "Keep your foot, give your mind to what you're doing. When you go, as Jacob, to sacred Bethel, to the house of God, for to draw near to hear and obey is better than to give the sacrifice of fools, carelessly, irreverently, too ignorant to know that they are doing evil. Be not rash with your mouth, and let not your heart be hasty to utter a word before God. For God is in heaven, and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. For a dream comes with much business and painful effort, and a fool's voice with many words. When you vow a vow to make a pledge to God, do not put off paying it. For God has no pleasure in fools, those who witlessly mock him. Pay what you vow. It is better that you should not vow than you should vow and not pay. Do not allow your mouth to cause your body to sin. And do not say before the messenger, the priest, that it was an error or mistake. Why should God be made angry at your voice and destroy the works of your hands? For in a multitude of dreams, there is futility and worthlessness and ruin in a flood of words. But reverently fear God, revere and worship him, knowing that he is." This is really a stern warning that comes to help us, not to hurt us. For the Apostle Paul tells the Corinthians that keeping their promises to God will bring them overflowing abundance. 2 Corinthians 9:5-13 in the Living Bible says, "I have asked these other brothers to arrive ahead of me to see that the gift you promised is on hand. Remember this, if you give little, you will get little. A farmer who plants just a few seeds will only get a small crop. But if he plants much, he will reap much. Don't force anyone to give more than he really wants to, for cheerful givers are the ones God prizes. God is able to make it the amount you promised up to you by giving you everything you need and more, so that there will not only be enough for your own needs, but plenty left over. I like that, honey. Plenty left over to give joyfully to others. It is as the scripture says, the godly man gives generously to the poor. His good deeds will be an honor to him forever. For God, who gives seed to the farmer to plant and later on good crops to harvest and eat, will give you more and more seed to plant and will make it grow so that you can give away more and more fruit from your harvest. Yes, God will give you much so that you can give away much. Those you help will be glad for this proof that your deeds are as good as your doctrine. You know, there is another verse of warning to those who would leave a promise made unfulfilled. In Deuteronomy 23:21, Classic Amplified says, "When you make a vow to the Lord your God, you shall not be slack in paying it, for the Lord your God will surely require it of you, and slackness would be sin in you." Notice that an unfulfilled promise becomes sin in the person who fails to pay it. Note that fulfilling promises are, it's very valuable to the believer. For those who can confidently call upon God for help when trouble comes. Listen to Psalm 50:14-15, very good stuff. Psalm 50:14-15, "Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows to the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee."
Wow.
Hallelujah.
That's it.
When we keep our vows, our promises, our pledges, we can call upon God in the day of trouble and expect that he will definitely deliver us. Can anybody say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
That's a truth, honey.
Psalm 116:14, New Living Translation. "I will keep my promises to the Lord in the presence of all his people." Unfortunately, we live in a society where promises don't hold the value that they once did. There was a time when a man's word was his bond. It ruled our conversations as well as our actions. Sadly, that's no longer the case. Promises are easily made and sometimes quickly broken, with seemingly no regret or thought about the consequences. Ecclesiastes 5:1-7, the Living Bible. "Don't be a fool who doesn't even realize it is sinful to make rash promises to God. So when you talk to God and vow to him that you will do something, don't delay in doing it, for God has no pleasure in fools. Keep your promises to him. It's far better not to say you'll do something than to say you will and then not do it. And yourself by telling, I'm sorry, in that case, your mouth is making you sin. Don't try to defend yourself by telling the messenger from God it was all a mistake to vow. That would make God very angry, and he might destroy your prosperity. Dreaming instead of doing it's foolishness, and there is ruin in a flood of empty words." Seven thoughts stirred in us as we read these verses.
First, if you make rash promises to God, it says you're a fool, whether you realize it or not. Ecclesiastes 5:2 in the Good News Translation says, "Think before you speak and don't make any rash promises to God."
Second, if you delay doing what you promised God, then you're a fool and God will take no pleasure in you. Ecclesiastes 5:4, Good News Translation. "So when you make a promise to God, keep it quickly as possible. He has no use for a fool. Do what you promised to do."
Third, it's better to keep your mouth shut than commit to something you're not going to do. Ecclesiastes 5:3, Good News Translation. 5:3 says, "The more you worry, the more likely you are to have bad dreams. And the more you talk, the more likely you are to say something foolish." There's a lot of truth in that.
Yes, there is. Fourth, never allow the words coming out of your mouth to willingly lead you into sin. Ecclesiastes 5:6, Good News Translation. Do not let your own words lead you into sin, so that you have to tell God's priest that you didn't mean it. Why make God angry with you? Why let him destroy what you've worked for?
Fifth, making excuses for your failure to do what you say will just make God angry. Again, Ecclesiastes 5:6, this time in the Living Bible, says, "Don't try to defend yourself by telling the messenger from God that it was all a mistake to make the vow. That would make God very angry, and he might destroy your prosperity."
Six, your failure to follow through on what you say you're going to do will destroy your prosperity. Once again, Ecclesiastes 5:6, this time New Living Translation. And don't defend yourself by telling the temple messenger that the promise you made was a mistake. That would make God angry, and he might wipe out everything that you've achieved.
And seventh, only talking about your dreams instead of doing something about them is just foolishness. Ecclesiastes 5:7 in the Living Bible, 5:7 says, "Dreaming instead of doing is foolishness, and there is ruin in a flood of empty words. Fear God instead." So don't be foolish. Keep your promises is pretty much the long and the short of it, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
If we reverence God and stand on his promises, then he's gonna lead us into abundance. But we need to stay away from
these seven key points.
Yes.
Come out of Ecclesiastes 5:6 and 7.
Right.
We've read it to you in a number of different translations. But these are points that you really need to get down inside of you.
The meanings are all the same.
That's exactly right.
Don't get involved in foolishness.
That's exactly right. I want to encourage you to be looking in your mail. We've sent you a letter. The outside says, "Have unlimited income in your house."
Hallelujah. The Lord showed us.
It really did. He really did. And it's a powerful revelation.
It is.
So make sure you check it out, that you read it, you meditate on it, and do what God tells you to do.
Hallelujah.
That's what we ask. Well, until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. Bye-bye.